You're listening to Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival with me, Andrew Haunt. I used to be a music journalist for Powerplay Rock and Metal magazine and a bunch of websites back in the day, and I miss doing it, so this show is all about me talking about classic and obscure rock and metal albums from throughout the years, mainly the 80s and 90s, because that's the era I'm most familiar with. So, yeah, sorry for the delay in getting this new episode out to you. I currently have COVID-19. That's really annoying. So I'm not feeling at my best. So if my voice is a bit weird, I do apologise. My symptoms are very strange. I am currently isolating in our bedroom while the rest of the family are avoiding me like the plague-bearing horror that I am. But yes, I have COVID-19 and I'm really bored, so I thought it was time I should do a new episode of the Rock Revival, so here I am. On this episode, I'm going to talk about Countdown to Extinction, the fifth studio album by Megadeth. Now, this is a very special album for a lot of reasons. It marked the second album to have the legendary lineup of Dave Mustaine on vocals and guitar, Marty Friedman on guitar, Dave Ellefson on bass, and the legendary Nick Menza on drums, the late, great Nick Menza on drums. It had a very different sound to what had come before with Rust in Peace, and, you know, whatever, everything that had come before from Megadeth, really. It was a very, very focused album and had some of the biggest hits to date on it. It really is an iconic metal album in every way. And in some ways, I actually prefer this to Rust in Peace because it's a lot more direct. I love Rust in Peace. I love songs like Holy War, Punishment Due and things like that. Hangar 18, of course. But they can go on a bit long, personally. I do prefer Countdown to Extinction. It is more direct. It's not. It's a little bit simpler in some ways than Rust in Peace in terms of the structure of the songs and the technicality and certainly the length of them. But it's a lot more powerful for that in my eyes. And while Dave Mustaine has never been the greatest vocalist in the world and will never be the greatest vocalist in the world, what he does here on Countdown to Extinction is really powerful. So Countdown to Extinction is the first of the Megadeth albums to not feature a really blatant Vic Rattlehead image on the front. It's got an old guy in like a prison cell floating around in the air yelling while wearing a loincloth. I know how he feels. That's how I feel right now, to be honest. But anyway, I'm not wearing a loincloth, don't worry. I am fully dressed while talking to you. Or am I? But no, I am. I promise. So to Countdown to Extinction, this was introduced to the world with the single Symphony of Destruction. And what a single that was. It's quite a straightforward song in terms of structure, but it's so memorable thanks to that wonderful lyric, the excellent vocal hook, and the that chunky riff. Oh god, I sound like Beavis. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to sing any riffs for you again, because that's just very Beavis-y, especially in my current plague-ridden state. So, the album itself came out January 6th. No, it didn't. The album came out in July 1992. Sorry, I'm getting my numbers mixed up here. See, it's the side effects of painkillers and COVID brain. So, yeah, the album came out in July 14th, 1992, and it was a big hit. It was, I'd imagine, I think it's the band's biggest album ever. No, it went double platinum pretty quickly. Definitely a very highly regarded album. And while the band had been seen as the world's state-of-the-art speed metal band, the songs on Countdown to Extinction, not that fast. There are some moments of speed, but there's nothing that's really flat-out speed on here. And that's fine, because these songs are a very high standard. What immediately is available is obvious is a very different production. Now, while Rust in Peace is definitely genuinely and understandably regarded as a metal classic, one of the greatest metal albums ever made, the production on it wasn't really to my taste. Not entirely. I do prefer the Countdown to Extinction production. It's clearer. It has a lot more body to the guitars. The drums have a lot more of a snap to them. And it's just, it's more powerful sonically I would say, than Rust in Peace. So the songs themselves on this album are just excellent. It starts in fine style with the 3 minutes 14 pummeling sing-along tune Skin of My Teeth. And it has that wonderful intro just with Nick Menza doing a really powerful drum fill and then straight down to business. And that's what you want. There's no big, long intro. It's not overtly dramatic. It is a full-on, balls-to-the-wall metal song. And it's fantastic. This is immediately followed by Symphony of Destruction, the legendary single. I mean, as soon as you hear that riff, you know you've got to enjoy the rest of the song as well. You can't just have the opening of Symphony of Destruction on. It is a bona fide classic. That is followed by Architecture of Aggression, which is more of a thrashy number. That does have a bit of a dramatic intro, but it doesn't really detract from anything. It doesn't really hang around that long. It's only 3.5 minutes, that song. But once the intro comes in, and that main riff kicks in, it's like, oh yeah, they've still got it. They've still got the thrash. They've still got that thrash feel to them. And while the song is quite mid-paced, the riffs are very thrash-oriented, and it's just so powerful. That's followed by Foreclosure of a Dream, which is a little bit more thoughtful. There's some clean guitars there. There's a kind of a staccato chorus going on, and there's some very thoughtful lyrics. Very political album, this. There's a lot of politics visible in the lyrics here, and it doesn't detract from the music. It just helps to drive it forward, if anything, to be honest. Sweating Bullets follows that, which, oh come on, Sweating Bullets is a Megadeth classic. You know, hello me, meet the real me. Everything about that song, it sums Megadeth up perfectly. There's great musicians here. There's some great guitar playing from Dave and Marty. There's some excellent rhythm work from Nick and Dave. It's just fantastic. And it has the utterly deranged lyrics, the schizophrenic theme to it, which is just the guy yelling at himself. It's really, really cool. That is followed by This Was My Life, which is not entirely a misstep on the album, I feel, but it doesn't have the same power as what's come before. So Foreclosure of a Dream and This Was My Life are the weakest songs out of what's come so far. That's not to say they're bad, it's just when compared with things like Sweating Bullets and Symphony of Destruction that they just really do pale in comparison. The next track is what opened side two. I had it on tape, so it would have opened side two of the tape and the vinyl long before I got the digital version or the CD of it. So that song, Countdown to Extinction, it has a bit more of a melodic feel to it. Now, at the time in rock and metal, it was a move away from old school metal and towards what would eventually morph into the grunge scene and the grunge era. Now, it's not really evident on this album, but you can feel the influence of the era throughout this album. It's less leather and studs and more, you know, plaid shirts. But still, it's extremely metal and very powerful. Countdown to Extinction is a great title track. It's not quite the hard-hitting monster that you would hope for from a Megadeth album, but it does still kick ass. This is followed by a crazy song called High Speed Dirt, which is about skydiving, from what I remember. It's only like 4 minutes or so long. And yeah, it's a thrash metal song about skydiving. Why not? I mean, we've had one about schizophrenia. We've had all the stuff that came before. Why not one about skydiving? You know, I know. This is followed by Psychotron, which, I love the song, and I really liked it at the time, but it hasn't aged well. This is a song more that feels like it's telling a Terminator story. You know, it's a cyborg song, and it kind of dates it to that sort of early 90s cyberpunk, dystopian cyberpunk, and I mean proper dystopian cyberpunk, not like YA novels of the present. I mean proper William Gibson-inspired, Terminator-inspired, Blade Runner, mutated, horrible cyberpunk where things just went very wrong. I mean, like 2000 AD, that's a good reference. Psychotron has a future view that's very 2000 AD in outlook, I feel. That's followed by Captive Honor, which is a song about prison, if I remember rightly, and the experience of people in Brill prisons. It's a very good song. It has a bit of a corny voiceover from Dave there as the as a judge and a prisoner. But it's a good song. It has a good hook to it. You know, the captive honour ain't no honour, repeated over and over and over. And that's 4 minutes 14. Now, the album ends, instead of with a ballad or a big dramatic song, it ends with the fastest, the heaviest song, Ashes in Your Mouth. This is a really pounding thrash metal song that sort of reclaims their more youthful exuberance of earlier albums, I feel. Ashes in Your Mouth, it's the song on the album that most sums up earlier Megadeth. It's absolutely brutal in its approach, and it works for it. And the fact that it doesn't end, it just fades out, ends the album well. Because it's like, yeah, they're just carrying on. They're carrying on into the distance. To the moment it's utterly silent, they are thrashing out. And it's a great song. This is a very powerful album. It has been remastered and remixed and re-released throughout the years with bonus tracks. Things like Breakpoint and Go to Hell. The song Go to Hell, which was originally on Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which is a really good tune. It was released again, remastered and remixed in 2004 with bonus tracks, Crown of Worms, the demos of Countdown to Extinction and Symphony of Destruction, and the demo of Psychotron. And it came back again in 2012 with the 20th anniversary live version, where a lot of the album was played live, along with things from Rust in Peace, like Hangar 18, and earlier things like Wake Up Dead. And it's an album that has stood the test of time in very fine style. And I think that's down to the more mature, more direct approach that the band took with it. And it's down to some more mature songwriting. It's down to a very chunky production that has aged very well. The production on this definitely has aged better than Rust in Peace, and especially better than So Far So Good So What. Megadeth have never had amazing productions, although Peace Sells But Who's Buying was pretty strong, to be honest. But it has a powerful production that really has stood the test of time, and it's well worth a listen even now. Of course, after Countdown to Extinction, there came Euthanasia, where the band went more into an alternative metal sort of place. It was still powerful, you know, but it wasn't as good as Countdown to Extinction. And again, that was followed by Cryptic Writings in 97, which was just all over the place in terms of quality. Again, they went further down the rabbit hole of less than stellar albums with Risk after that. But don't worry, after the mess that Risk was, they did get better. But by that time, there was no Marty Friedman, and there was no Nick Menza. There has been a revolving, like sort of a revolving door prop thing with guitar players and drummers for a long time, and of course now with the controversy that surrounded Dave Ellefson, there's no Dave either. So from last time I checked, there was no Dave anyway because of the stuff that happened with Dave. So it is largely just Dave Mustaine now. And of course Nick Menza passed away in 2016 from heart failure during a show, and not with Megadeth, that was with a band of his own, Ohm, long after he'd left. And that was so sad, because listening to Countdown to Extinction, you hear a band that is absolutely at the peak of their powers. The originality, the musicianship, the songwriting, everything about it is just note perfect, and it's wonderful. It is an album that does pay back a revisit now and again. It's always fun to be reminded of what Dave Mustaine's voice was like at the time. Like I said, he's not a brilliant singer, but he does absolutely do justice to the songs on this album. It's a fantastic album. It's very varied in its sound and approach. It still sounds fantastic. It was nominated for a Grammy back in 93, And I see here that the album's title track won the Humane Society's Genesis Award for raising awareness for animal rights issues. There's a lot of political content on this album, but it never overpowers the quality of the songs themselves. So, Megadeth, Countdown to Extinction. A genuine metal masterpiece from 1992, which is, I feel, one of the greatest points in metal. A lot was going on. Yeah, grunge was coming up, a lot of things were turning more alternative, a lot of the simpler like glam bands and so on were being turned away from in favour of harder bands. And it was an interesting time. You know, not everything was perfect at that time, not by a long way, not everything was original and dripping with talent like this album, but this is a perfect snapshot of where Megadeth were and where metal was at the time. It was a turning point in many ways. Do make sure you revisit Countdown to Extinction. So that's my little look at Countdown to Extinction. I'm Andrew Horn. I've still got COVID. I'm going to see if I can get another episode up very soon for you. Mainly, I just wanted to be active rather than just sitting there staring at the ceiling, trying to motivate myself to do something. But yes, this is been a fun one to do. I want to talk about Countdown to Extinction because it's hugely important. I listened to it for years. I got it the year it came out, back in 92. I was buying a lot of albums then. Whenever I had money, I was getting albums. I was like 14 or so when this came out. And it just blew me away at the time. And it still blows me away now. In fact, I may go and revisit it. You know, when I do these episodes, I always end up, I revisit the album beforehand. And then I talk about it to you guys. And then I always want to revisit it again. And that's never a bad thing. This stuff's to be enjoyed. It's not throwaway music. And that's something I do miss about past eras. Music feels a lot more throwaway now and a lot more just kind of immediate gratification. And it dates quicker as well. There's different, you know, there's very telling keyboard and synth patches and rhythms and so on that do date very quickly. And song structures date in popular music at the moment very quickly. So it's nice to hear something that is still refreshing to this day. There were four singles released from the album. So first, of course, was Symphony of Destruction, which came out in July 1992. That had quite a simple video to it and immediately became a favourite on rock and metal dance floors around the country and radio shows. There were still rock radio shows back then. And I remember seeing the video to that first on Raw Power. Now, for British listeners, you may remember, if you are of a certain age, Raw Power was a rock and metal show that was broadcast at 3 in the morning after, what was it? The Hit Girl and the Hitman and Her, that was it. With Pete Waterman and Michaela Strachan going around nightclubs. And because you always had to do a pre-roll on video recorders back then, I always got about 10 minutes of that bloody show, and it was awful. God awful. Showing the same vacuous, vapid, crappy old clubs playing the same crappy old music. And then, of course, you got Raw Power. And one episode opened up with Symphony of Destruction, and immediately my jaw dropped. Like, this riff, you know, the main riff, don't sing riffs, Andrew, was just so chunky. And I was like, okay, this means business. This was the era where the Black Album by Metallica was still, you know, the greatest thing ever released, and absolutely enormous. This was also the era for Guns N' Roses doing Usual Illusion 1 and 2, and they were riding high on stuff like that. But when Symphony of Destruction came out, I was really, really impressed with it. The second single from the album was Foreclosure of a Dream, which October the same year. Didn't have the same impact at all. Great song, but didn't have the same impact as Symphony of Destruction because it just wasn't in the same league. That was followed by, in February the following year, by The Sweat Is Sweating Bullets being released as a single. And that got far more traction. That got far more traction than Foreclosure of a Dream did, just because of how crazy the song is. And that was followed by the final single in April 1993, Skin of My Teeth. I remember that coming out and having some fun B-sides on it. I must have to look into those B-sides and revisit those. But yes, Skin of My Teeth was the final single from the album. The video for that, if I remember rightly, was live footage with a live board recording of the band playing it at a concert. And it really showed me what a difference the production made to the album, because the live version, it was not as clear or punchy as the album one at all. So you can see what a hell of a lot of work went in by Max Norman and Dave Mustaine in the production of Countdown to Extinction, because that live version just was kind of weak, and the guitar tone on it was not good at all. But that was the singles from Countdown to Extinction. So, yeah, I'm going to go and revisit it again right now. I'm Andrew Haunt. Thank you ever so much for checking out this episode of My Rock Revival. If you've enjoyed it, please do subscribe. You can also find me on YouTube. Just search for Andrew Haunt on YouTube, where you can find my show Planet Hex. You can find my movie, The Demon and I, and a bunch of other stuff that I get up to there. There's lots on there. There's also a video version of this podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube as a video, sorry, you know that this is already on YouTube. But anyway, COVID brain is telling me that I should stop talking now because I'm rambling. I hope you all have a marvellous day. Keep safe, keep well. Try not to get COVID because it sucks. I'm Andrew Haunt. Thanks for listening to The Rock Revival.